Hey, plant friend, quick announcement at the top of the show. I wanted to let you know I'm offering two different free online classes that are 45 minutes each that are designed to help you get the most out of your spring this year. I want spring and summer 2025 to be your best houseplant growth seasons yet. And the way that you'll sign up for these classes, which are completely free, is by going to growingjoywithmaria.com/class. There's two options. The first up is the Spring Houseplant Boost. Supercharge your plant growth in three simple steps. And this is a 45-minute class all about how to utilize spring to set your plants up for insane growth this year. And then the second class is called The Ultimate Guide to Moving Indoor Plants Outside and Three Mistakes to Avoid. A lot of people move their plants outside in the spring, which is fabulous, but there are massive mistakes you can do that can result in some pretty bad stuff. So this class is going to go over how to do that. If you're interested in either classes or both classes, you can go register for free, completely free. Each class is 45 minutes at growingjoywithmaria.com/class. That's growingjoywithmaria.com/class. I cannot wait to hang out with you live and share my tips. With more companies enforcing back-to-office mandates, employee wellness and happiness has never been more important. And studies are showing that a happier, less stressed workforce is a more productive one. But the question all of these employers are asking themselves is, how do we create a workplace that people want to return to? Enter corporate gardening. So imagine going to work, commuting to your office, and being able to step away from your desk into a lush vegetable garden right at your office in the middle of your workday. Today, I'm talking to the founders of Start Organic, a company that helps employers give that opportunity to their employees. They've brought workplace gardens to eBay, PayPal, Intuit, and more, transforming office culture one plant at a time. It is such a fascinating conversation. Let's dig in. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. Welcome to Growing Joy with Plants. I'm Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. If you're new here, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome home. What an honor to be part of your planty journey. We usually talk about how to care for plants on the podcast, but today we're talking about how to use plants as a wellness tool with employees, right? This idea of corporate gardening. It has me so excited because we don't have to separate our gardener self from our work self, right? The idea that you can go commute to work and leave and take a work break in the middle of your workday in a garden and then maybe bring some freshly grown tomatoes home to your family that you've grown. Oh, it's amazing. So today I talk with Josh and Troy, the founders of Start Organic, which is a company that's on a mission to help people successfully grow their own food, whether it's at their home or their office. Their company has grown in a really organic and interesting way. And now they run full-fledged corporate wellness programs at companies like Intuit, like PayPal, like eBay, like Apple. And they have really interesting data on the wellness effects of these corporate gardens on the employees that they support. This conversation is eye-opening, whether you're at an office who might want to hire Start Organic to get something going, or if you might want to pitch to be the person that starts a corporate garden and you lead it. It's going to set you up for success and get you really inspired. So whether you're listening from your office today, from your home garden, or somewhere in between, get ready to get inspired by the power of plants at work. Troy and Josh, welcome to Growing Joy. So excited to have you today.
Hey, Maria. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
You know, when I got the pitch to have you guys on the podcast, I was like, wait, what is this? And I looked at this cool sizzle reel that you have on your website, and I found it so interesting. You've located such an interesting niche within a niche of this market that I'm interested in in drilling you on a little bit. So before we dive in, like, how did you guys become the gardeners that you are today and the founders of Start Organic? Troy, you want to go first?
Sure. We're in this 15 years, you know, which is no small span. Gardening and the agricultural industry is tough. There's a lot of turnover and change. Josh and I have been friends for a really long time. We were college friends and soccer teammates at UC Santa Barbara. That's how we met. And we've kind of rekindled our friendship. And we really took down this path in 2010 when both of us were working sort of corporate jobs. And we decided, hey, let's do something on our own. And we had a really cool opportunity pop up where we had sort of a free place to stay for just a 6-month period. So we had this, like, you know, low cost of living, and we had a chance to talk through ideas. So we started brainstorming ideas. We came up with the idea for Start Organic, which ultimately, like in the very beginning, was a backyard vegetable garden service where we would visit your house. We would talk to you as a private client, just your backyard. How can we set you on the path to growing your own food? So we started some plants in a laundry room at a house we were living in under lights. And we decided, yeah, let's bring all those plants back, get our first rounds of clients just in an area that we knew, which happened to be the Bay Area, California. And we went off from there. Maybe Josh can take it over and talk about how we transitioned into what we're doing now.
Sure. I'll go a step further back just to start with my background. So I grew up on an acre in Orange County, California. While I was there, we always had lots of edible gardens, and we had a little orchard, and we had all sorts of stuff growing up. You know, I was doing my science projects were always about growing seeds and how to plant this and how to do that, but it was mostly focused on edibles. I kind of got that in me early, and it was just kind of like a little hobby that I do with my parents, you know, around the house. But at least that gave me the foundation to know that growing food is not that hard, and you can do it if you have the right, you know, knowledge and interest in it. So fast forward, Troy and I are growing these starter plants, you know, in the laundry room in Tahoe, and bringing those back to the Bay Area for us to plant our first gardens. And that was going pretty well. It was a lot of hard work building gardens and growing the food for people in their yards, and then also educating them in their garden. But at that point, you know, we were approached by eBay and PayPal at their headquarters to really start something that was going to be meaningful for their employees, to take a little bit of an activity they could do on campus, and also, you know, grow and learn as a person, and then also do some team building while they're on campus outside and getting some fresh air, get out of the office for a second. And we did it for, you know, a group of, I don't know how many we started with, maybe 12 or 15 garden beds with like 20 or 30 participants. And it's just steamrolled since then. We've been there 12 years now at the PayPal headquarters, and we've really gotten to grow with them, and their garden's grown to now 56 garden beds, where we're teaching, wow, you know, around 100 people at a time there. So it's really fun. It's been a cool experience for us to see what we always thought is, you know, if we can give people an opportunity to get outside and get out of their desk for a minute, it really has shown that they have been able to relieve stress and just have such a better campus work-life balance, which is really cool for us.
Okay, so how do you just stumble into designing gardens for PayPal?
Oh man, I wouldn't say we stumbled anywhere. I mean, I personally went to probably 10,000 people's homes during the course of our first 10 years of business. I mean, I was the main sales guy, if you want to say. I was the guy to break down if you had a place that could actually grow successfully. So of those 10,000, we built probably 1,000 residential gardens during that first 10-year period. So we became experts on especially the garden setup. I would say that's our main expertise, is how do you set up a location so it will definitely grow food for you over the long haul? And that's a huge part. Most people kind of overlook that mm-hmm. part. So I would say it was really natural. If you're in the Bay Area, it has transformed from the Valley of the Heart's Delight, the most agricultural center of really the Western United States, into Silicon Valley over a generation. So if you're in Silicon Valey, you're probably going to be aligning with tech at some point. And so that was sort of bound to happen. We had so many of these residential clients, and they would say, hey, wouldn't this be cool if this was at my office? And that started that conversation.
So it flowed naturally.
And Troy, I don't even know if you remember this, but the way we got in touch with them is I found a Facebook gardening group for eBay employees. And I just happened to send a message to them being like, hey, you know, I see you guys are growing food. What's going on? Are you doing anything on campus? I know you have a little garden in your Midwest office. You know, what's going on? And they're like, actually, we do want to grow food here. And we went out there, Troy and I, and talked to them. And and were able to really gain support really fast because it was very popular at the time and now, you know, so.
That's so cool. It's also cool to hear that you guys have been doing this since 2010. Gardening got super popular in the pandemic. There's all of this push of getting workers back in the office and gardening and houseplants and all of these initiatives are getting done now. But it sounds like you've been doing this much longer than that. And you've cut your teeth with these thousands of residential gardens. Did you know that you wanted to transition into corporate gardening, or were you happy as residential installers and didn't necessarily think that you were going to move into corporate opportunities? Was that something that you manifested, or was that something that, you know, you just kind of happened upon and flowed where the energy took you?
I'd say it was all organic. We needed to, as you say, cut our teeth building all these gardens so that we had the expertise that we could actually bring to these companies with a confidence and say, 100% we can grow food for your employees. They will have a good experience. If we would have done that from the beginning, we would have had these trial and errors with these pretty major tech brands in the Bay Area. And that would not have been a good learning curve. So having all of these individual experiences, seeing problems with pests from a very small scale, seeing watering issues, small spaces, big spaces, how much involvement the actual grower needs to have, how much time you need to spend in your garden to be successful. That was our first 10 years. And we learned the hard way. You know, we had failures, you know, for sure. I mean, not every garden is going to produce unless you really do know what you're doing. So those conversations, I would say, it was very organic in the way we did it. But we also really welcomed that change because we were teaching one person at a time. And our clients were spread all over the place. So it was really difficult infrastructure-wise to make sure every person had a really good experience. Whereas now we have these programs where I have 150 participants in our Intuit program. Josh has over 100 people in the PayPal program. We do a class, we get to reach this huge audience in one shot. And it's awesome because there's this group dynamic, there's a lot more energy involved, and we feel like we're making a much bigger impact.
Yeah, because you're teaching them at the office, but then who's to say that they're not going to take a cutting of that tomato plant and bring it home and plant it up in their backyard as well? The propagation of knowledge is more scalable on this large scale.
Speaking of propagation,
Josh is showing us a bag of something.
We've got potatoes here from Whole Foods. So I'm actually going to three of our clients this week to show them how to grow potatoes from store-bought potatoes. And so I'm going to be going and doing a workshop and getting to talk to over 100 people for sure in just maybe 5 hours, you know? So it'll be really cool. I get to spread that knowledge and I'm actually giving them a potato starting kit to take home with them so they can actually do it themselves at home. So it's bringing that knowledge home so they can teach their kids, they can teach their community about growing food. So it's not just in the garden at work, but it's also meant for us to spread that knowledge to their communities too, which is really cool.
I grew potatoes for the first time last summer and it was so fun. Like the patience game too. Potatoes are a lesson in patience in a massive way because you're not seeing those potatoes until, you know, the end of the summer. It's so cool. You know, you mentioned you're experts in going in and installing the garden. So I'm curious, you get a new contract with a local company, with a local brewery, a local whatever, someplace that wants you to install a garden. What are those first couple of meetings look like? Like, what does the beginning of the experience look like?
Definitely in person, you know, as much as we can do in person. We do consulting work all over the U.S. and even outside the U.S. too. So we can break down a site based on, you know, your location on Google Maps. So I've actually done a lot of consulting work everywhere. But if we are actually going to put our name on it, if we're going to put that Start Organic name on it, we want to make sure that that is a location that is going to be successful for growing food. That involves like a lengthy kind of process. I'm there in person looking at how much sunlight do you get? What's the traffic look like? Or do you actually have people engaging with that area? The more people engaging with the area, whether they're just walking through on their way to their lunch counter, is great. Mm-hmm. We actually want people present. So we want to prove that this is a location where human beings are going to be and not just the squirrels that hang out there or the gaggle of geese that walks by every day or whatever that's in that area. So that process is, you know, some one-on-one communication, a lot of time with facilities directors, the engagement teams, the green teams for these companies. We'll have everyone out there and we'll say, hey, this is an area that would work. So we go in there and we kind of highlight three areas generally for each campus that would be ranked in. This is your best, second best, and third best location for growing food. And that sometimes jives with their company culture and their campus, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they're like, oh, we didn't consider that area. So we really need to open up the conversation based on what's going to be Earth's calendar and what's going to grow better for the long haul, for the actual experience for the employees, not necessarily the back lot that no one visits being your best location. So kind of quite a few factors actually go into breaking down a site.
What's like the most unique place you've installed a garden?
We've done rooftop setups. That's challenging because you're importing the soil. You're not connected to like the mycelium network of the earth, right? So you have to provide a lot of different nutritional elements to the soil that you might not have to anywhere else. But I mean, with the home gardens, I mean, we had a garden that had no sun and we were using mirrors to reflect the sunlight down into the garden. I mean, you name it, we've done it for sure.
Okay, I've never heard the mirror trick before. For outdoors, that's genius. It sounds like you guys kind of have like a signature style of install. So are you doing raised beds? Are you doing in-ground? Like, what does the Start Organic garden look like? So if today's conversation has you dreaming of starting your own veggie garden, whether it's at work or whether it's at home, you need to be doing it with my go-to organic gardening brand, Espoma Organic. So you've probably heard about Espoma Organic if you've listened to this podcast. They've been a partner forever. They make growing your food so much easier with all natural organic fertilizers, potting mixes, and soil amendments. So the Start Organic guys talk about raised beds. Espoma Organic has an organic raised bed mix that is perfectly formulated that you can just put right in a raised bed and start your plants up for success immediately. You're going to want to plant those plants up with Biotone Starter Plus, their starter plant food. And then depending on what you grow, they have perfect fertilizers called their lines of tones that are perfectly formulated for what you're growing. So they have a tomato tone, which you use for tomatoes. They have a garden tone, which is their generic garden fertilizer. They have a bulb tone, a flower tone, a rose tone. They have tones for everything. And they really are just helping you get as much success growing as soon as possible, just like this conversation. And if you have indoor plants in your office that you want to make sure thrive, I highly suggest hitting them with a little bit of their indoor organic houseplant food. It's a liquid organic houseplant food you put in your watering can. So if you want a thriving garden without the guesswork, definitely make sure to grab Espoma Organic products to set you up for success. You can go to espoma.com to see all of their different indoor and outdoor products, to see where your local Espoma dealer is, or you can click the link in the show notes and go to my curated Amazon storefront of my Espoma faves. Okay, so you know how in spring, everything starts to feel lighter. I switch my hot coffee to my iced coffee. I start drinking more smoothies. I try and align my food with the fresh, vibrant energy of spring. Well, one of the biggest supports for these swaps that I make to still make them delicious is Manukora honey. You've heard me talk about them on this podcast. I'm obsessed. I use it almost every day. It's my secret ingredient in my morning iced coffee and in my smoothies. So I make a dupe of the very well-known brown sugar shake an espresso from a well-known barista. We won't name names. You take a spoonful of this rich, creamy honey by Manukora. You add espresso or coffee, your milk of choice, and ice. You shake it up so it gets frothy. It is so freaking good. Or I drizzle it over a smoothie bowl, or I put it in a smoothie. And honestly, in the middle of the afternoon, I will take a spoonful of Manukora honey and just eat it. Eat it right off the spoon, raw, for a midday energy boost. But Manukora honey isn't your average honey that you get from a honey bear. It's ethically harvested from the remote forests in New Zealand, and it's packed with powerful nutrients that support your immunity and your gut health. It has 3 times the antioxidants and prebiotics of regular honey. Plus, it's tested for potency, so you know exactly what you're getting, and it has never been easier to try Manukora honey for you plant friends. They are offering us a great deal. You can go to manukora.com/bloom to get $25 off the starter kit, which comes with their 850 plus Manukora honey jar, 5 honey travel sticks, which are low key amazing for a weekend away, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. That's Manukora, Manukora, Manukora.com/bloom for $25 off your starter kit. You will not be disappointed.
Raised bed gardens are kind of our bread and butter. We do that all the time. We, you know, have just tried and true, and we know it works really well. There's so many reasons why we do it, but we do raise beds and we try to get at least 12 inches off the ground, hopefully more like 18 inches or 2 feet to just get it enough soil and the really good soil. The more really good soil you have in there, the longer the production's going to be, the better the production's going to be. So for us, that's kind of what we do. We always have automatic irrigation, especially at these campuses, just because we know as much of the heavy lifting we can do and make it as easy as we can for the employees to grow, make it so that their time in the garden is spent gardening, not just watering or fixing irrigation or doing other parts to it. We want them to really have a good first experience so that they can take that knowledge and really say, hey, I'm a green thumb. I can do this at home, instead of having a bad season because the irrigation was broken or the soil wasn't so good. We try to make sure all that stuff is dialed in for everybody.
Yeah, it's like the low maintenance kitchen garden approach, but at a larger scale. How many beds is an average corporate garden? Like, is it one bed, or do you have to, because you have a lot of employees, do you have to end up doing 13 beds or 10 beds, you know?
Well,
I can take that one. Our gardens start, probably one of our smaller installations I actually just did with a company last year called Zawara. They're awesome. We started with 8 garden beds. It's actually key, just whether you're a home gardener or you're a business and you're looking to do this. Anyone who's looking to start a garden should start relatively small.
100% agree.
Gain success, right? Build one garden bed at your house. Do a good job. Really have success in that, then double it the next year. And then if you're thinking about more, then add a little bit more in the future. But yeah, so these companies, I'd say our installations start, we've done even small demonstration gardens only, where it was just for us to grow and do classes. So 3-4 garden beds. You really don't need very much space to get started. It's great to pick a spot though, that you can expand in the future. Josh mentioned that we started with, it was 10 or 12 garden beds, I think, at PayPal, and they're up to 50. And that was over that first 10-year period. We expanded the garden 4 times. I think we're into our 5th garden expansion there this year. Going into this spring, we're going to be doing a big garden overhaul and adding like a veggie cut sink and a bunch of really cool garden amenities too. So from 3 garden beds, let's say, to 50 or more,
Well, that's interesting too, because it sounds like as when you go in and you choose your site selection, it's not just what can we put in here now, but is there opportunity to expand? Like, you don't want to blow out, you don't want to choose the smallest plot that can only fit 3 and then you can expand. So it sounds like you were saying you go, you are in person, you evaluate, you give some recommendations on, these are the top 3 slots, these are the top 3 areas. This one could have 3 beds, this one could have 5 beds. This is the positive and negatives of this area. This is the positive and negatives of this area. Then they come back, you select, you go in and install the beds, which is, putting in the raised beds. You have to, I can't even imagine schlepping in all the soil and bringing it to a rooftop. Can't even imagine what that would look like. And then what does it look like for you guys? And what does it look like for the employees on a seasonal basis, right? Because, you're probably installing a lot of these beds in, April, May, June. And then those vegetables are growing all summer. So is there some sort of employee sign-up program where they're committing to working in the garden a certain amount of time, and then in exchange for that, they get to bring, it's almost like a CSA. Is that how it works?
Kind of, yeah. Every one of our programs is a little different, right? And we like to tailor the program. So we have these preliminary meetings. We talk to the green team, or we talk to employee engagement, and we say, hey, what do you normally do on campus? How do you like your employees to engage with the garden? Is it something where you want to give a smaller class a chance to have more take-home vegetables? Or do you want teams of employees to go in there and have this more about the educational part, taking home the experience of growing versus taking home like handfuls of veggies throughout the season? So some of our garden plots have 1 or 2 participants. Some of them have up to 6 participants. So it really is that initial conversation about how many people do we think are interested. So a lot of times Josh and I will do a Earth Day special. We'll do a virtual offering, like a webinar, and we'll say, here's what it takes to grow a home garden. By the way, we're starting a new corporate garden at your headquarters. Who would be interested in signing on for at least being in the garden once a week, right? For a short amount of time, 10, 15 minutes, but you need to say, I'm going to be on campus. Right. So this is a draw. This is companies inviting people back to the workplace, especially after the pandemic. What can they do to attract employees? This is a big one, because it's like, not only are they signing up for a really cool series, a cool class, but they're also taking home produce and information to start their home gardens too. So every one of our clients is just tweaked a slightly different, right? So we're just making sure that we're listening when we set up that process, that we're not just slapping, this is how we do it, right? Because if you don't listen, then you kind of miss some of the milestones. And some of these companies are really have different wellness pillars and different platforms for how they want their employees to experience the workplace.
Yeah, because I could see it being almost team building. Like maybe there are teams that go and garden together, or wellness individual. I'm going to go do this for my me time when I'm at the office. Josh, I'm curious what PayPal looks like, because it sounds like PayPal is your longest standing, largest partnership. So how is that structured as that's expanded?
Yeah, so that's gone through a couple different phases, I would say, since the beginning. Originally, they wanted to include dining a lot with what we were doing. So we had a few beds dedicated to be working with the dining team and their cafe system. So they wanted, you know, us to work with them to really interact and have a lot of, here's what we're growing seasonally, how can we use it in your food? We'd have discussions with them. And that was a really cool system over there. Then because we had this wait list of employees growing and growing and growing and growing that wanted to participate growing their own food, it really steamrolled into this, let's focus on employee engagement and see how many employees we can get to engage with this garden. And because we have such a wait list that's still growing all the time, for people that want to be involved.
Wow. Employees can't even participate because there's such a desire for it.
Yeah. I mean, there are employees that have been on the wait list for, you know, 6 months or maybe even a year, because we work in these two seasons every year. They'll get in eventually, you know, but it does take some time because it is such a popular program. So yeah, they decided, let's just focus on that. Let's make it just an employee garden where we can have as many people participate as we can fit into this garden. And then maybe we'll expand again someday. You know, that's how it kind of works with our programs. If there's enough popularity behind it, then, you know, maybe it's time to build a few more beds and get some more people involved and see what other cool things we can do with it. You know, like this year, they wanted, let's make this area, let's beautify it a bit. Let's put the sink in. Let's raise the beds a little taller. Let's make it a little nicer just so people can really enjoy the presence out in the garden, which is cool for us, you know.
And so if I'm an employee enrolled in this, off the wait list, enrolled in the PayPal program, I have to do a certain amount of hours a month, and then I'm taking the harvest home. Like, how does that get divided? What does that look like?
Yeah. So usually, you know, you grow what you want to eat. So we don't want people, you know, growing a bunch of stuff they're not going to use. So we bring out all these different types of crops at the beginning of the season. We have a huge planting day. We bring out a bunch of starter plants and a bunch of seeds. And then we plant with them the things that they want to actually eat. And so whether it's an individual or if it's a team of employees from a certain department, they'll get together and decide what they want to eat and grow. And we'll help them through the process of how to grow each of the different crops from that planting day all the way through the season. We have workshops all throughout to make sure that we're supportive of them. You know, most of them are only growing for their first time. So it's really helping them each step of the way to make sure that they're growing successfully.
Yeah, I guess my next question is, what is the percentage that Start Organic is coming in and making sure that the beds are good? And, you know, like, what is the percentage that you guys are caring for the beds versus what is the percentage that the employees are actually caring for the beds?
As we mentioned in the beginning, what's really important is setting up a garden for success. So we make sure when we bring these soil amendments in there, we have this kind of proprietary blend of soil mixes that will grow under these circumstances. We know how much sunlight they're getting. We have great soil. We're bringing the right plant selections in at exactly the right time to plant for that particular location. And then we have automatic irrigation too. So we're running this system to make sure the water is good. So really, we don't want to teach people how to be a watering can, how to go out there and water their plants. We want them to prune their plants at the right time. We want them to prune them the right way. We want them to be observant of what pests are engaging with their garden. What are beneficial insects? What are non-beneficial insects? And then what does it look like when it's ready to harvest? And how can you use them? It's really like more in depth into like the real how to become a green thumb, right? You're not, you know, there's a lot of ways to, you know, go. You can go out there and water your garden, but really how much are you learning? We're doing these, you know, Josh is doing a potato planting, but probably while he's there, he's going to be talking about what happens toward the end of our winter season, right? We're 3/4 of the way through our winter growing season. So we're growing at all these campuses. We're growing broccoli and cauliflower. And a lot of those are ready for harvest, but they are also having problems with aphids because this is just something that normally happens at the end of the season with these winter vegetable plants. So we're saying, here, oh, look, you have the beginnings of what's happening with aphids and mealybugs here on your plants. Here's how you can use organic techniques to take care of those so you don't have aphids inside your broccoli when you go to harvest them.
Yeah. Oh, gross. That's so interesting. I am curious, are you able to measure the success of a garden from a corporate standpoint? So do you have like research or data that shows if you install a garden at your corporate office, your employees are going to feel better? Like I'm thinking of the human, there was a great study on biophilic design done. I think it's called Human Spaces something, but it talks about like, if you have houseplants in an office, your employees are going to be 15% more productive. Like, is there, do you guys have data since it sounds like you've interacted with so many employees?
We have done surveys with employees to get their general feedback on what a gardening program experience does for them. And so we'll ask questions like, have you seen positive lifestyle changes due to the gardening, having the gardening program on campus? Do you have a better outlook on your company now that you have had a gardening program on campus? Have you felt any stress reduction? And we measure these things that are really all about wellness and their employee experience to prove what we're doing is helping, at least. We've seen it all along, but it's good to have some data just to measure it. When we did this survey, we were like, oh, we're hopefully, you know, we'll get like above 50% getting these benefits from this gardening program, which for a lot of these companies is relatively inexpensive for getting the benefits that you get. And so what we did is just like, what's the percentage? And pretty much every question we asked, it was above 90% of the participants felt some sort of positive lifestyle changes, eating healthier, stress reduced during work, and all these different things that we could now measure and be like, oh, that was cool. Okay. So what we have talked to people and thought all along, now we actually have some data behind it, which is kind of cool for us just to make sure that it's measured and be like, okay, people are enjoying this program. They're getting something out of it and it's making their work day a little bit better.
Yeah, that's something I'm personally very curious about is I feel like everybody knows garden is therapy, plant care is self-care, but we haven't quite quantified it yet. And I feel like once it gets proven more, I mean, there are more and more studies coming out, but once there's more solid research, it's like, I think gardening is going to take off even more than we've ever seen before because mental health is such a... We're only at the beginning, I think, of so many mental health issues with social media and all that kind of stuff. That's so cool. Do you have any particular stories of certain employees? Like, do you have any of those like amazing feedback moments you want to share?
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so many. I mean, I think the biggest measure of the success is when someone pulls us aside after one of our classes and said, hey, you know, I took this course last year. I'm not enrolled in the program right now, but I now have a garden at my house. Mm. I've got my kids going out there begging me to pull vegetables out of the ground and eat them right now. And I'm like, wow, like that's for us. We need those feel good moments too. And you know, this is a small business. It's been a road for sure. And so when we hear that, it's like, man, we get this really amazing sense of not only are we growing food, and that amazing feeling of growing food is, I've never tried it. It's incredible. And I'm sure you've experienced it for sure. But like, we're seeing this organic trickle down effect happening with people taking this information home. And then we have funny stories. One of my corporate participants, we had a pest problem and we were not fit. We weren't quite sure what was visiting the garden, because it was like the damage was done in the nighttime. And then we come back and it's, you know, we didn't have cameras out there or anything yet. So this guy takes it on himself to go out there at like the wee hours. He's like, oh, I went to work last night at like 10 p.m. Right. He's visiting the office way after work hours to see if he can get a glimpse of what this is. And it was a skunk, and he caught it and removed it from the garden. And it's like, I mean, I shouldn't be sharing that story really, because like we kind of got in trouble there. They're like, hey, we don't really want our employees like trying to capture animals, but
that's insane. Yeah. That's a gardener though. That's a gardener.
Dude.
That's a plant person.
That's true participation, right? That's somebody who cares. And he actually, I mean, he did his whole garden team. I mean, we're considering this as like individual garden beds and you have your team, but really, and that's the first speech we give every time we start a new garden. Planting day comes around, we gather everybody around that's going to be our graduating class for that season. And we say, hey, I know you've got your garden bed and you want to come out here and you want to take care of the weeds in there and you want to make sure you don't have pests, but really, this whole garden is one unit and we're all a team here. So if you see small birdies coming into the garden and munching on something in your neighbor's garden bed, you should shoo that bird out of here. So that guy like really did a service to the whole garden, even though we don't want to really reward that kind of behavior necessarily. But he really did a service for his whole garden, because that pest problem is not only a problem for his garden bed, it was for the entire garden scene.
It's team building and it's so fun, and gardeners are the craziest people ever. I freaking love it. What my mom used to do to like keep the chipmunks off of her sunflower seeds when she would, she would plant like 200 sunflowers in her front yard every year. And the saga of the battle with the chipmunks was so funny. This is so cool. Could I do this on a small scale? Like, say I have an office that's small that probably wouldn't have the budget to hire Start Organic. Like, do you think I could go and pitch the higher ups being like, hey, give me a budget and let me install this? Do you think that it can be done on a small, thinking about the ripple effect too of like small scale as well? Or do you think it really does need to be supervised by professionals?
I would say that you could definitely do it yourself. The one thing to think about is the same thing that we see in school gardens a lot of times. Someone gets excited and they build a garden and they plant it, and then their kid graduates.
and then they totally forget about it.
Who's taking care of the garden now, you know? So having some sort of continuity, or at least ground rules that are going to be followed for the next generation of whoever's working at that office, is very
important. Through the cleanup too, not just through the harvest, but through the cleanup, through the wintering, it's a real commitment. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's one thing I would say, is just having someone there to have that continuity and know what's going to happen next and be aware of what the future is going to hold for the garden, to make sure it's producing and not just getting overgrown and crazy and, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry. Keep in mind also that our services are super scalable. Like, we could go out there and just consult with you about the right location and what you and your team can do to build the garden. We don't even have to necessarily go build the garden for you there. I mean, we've consulted with clients in Chicago. We don't go out there and build those gardens. They have their own maintenance teams. They built a garden based on our specs, and they're having really good success out there. So the setup, and then if we do even virtual offerings like once, twice a year, we can get you to the point where you know what the seasonal turnover is going to look like. What do you need to spend your time on? What do you not need to spend your time on? What materials are actually really important for continuing to grow? And then maybe like a hand holding one virtual class in the middle of the season and say, hey, here's what's happening in the garden right now, because we know what's going to happen. This is really cool. Once you've gardened one full year, you've gone around the sun one time, you have seen what's going to be happening in your garden space. So we can take that experience and share it with you and say, hey, in the next month, you're going to start seeing this kind of pest activity. Here's what you should do to prevent it. right? Because a lot of gardening is preventing the problem or seeing what's going to come and having the materials handy so that when it does happen, you're not frantically running around like, oh, I have 10 things to do today and I can't go out there and I can't spray my plants with water today.
Yeah.
So that's big.
Totally. I'm curious because it was interesting too that you said that they actually choose what they grow. What are the biggest requests that you get? I'm guessing tomatoes. I'm guessing herbs. Like, what are the biggest things that people want to grow?
This season, our offerings, because we're starting them now. We're starting them with a partner of ours in a nursery. So we're starting 5-6 varieties of tomatoes, some ranging from like the simple early girls and cherry varieties to always some kind of fun heirloom varieties. So tomatoes are always the biggest for especially the spring, summer garden season. Hot peppers kind of ranking high up there. You know, we bring like cayennes and jalapenos and habaneros and all the really fun varieties, a lot of color. Cucumbers, always 2 or 3 different varieties. Cucumbers, eggplant, zucchini and squash. We always save some room for seeding because we do want people to experience that seed to harvest, right? So a lot of times, and this is the fundamentals, is like build success, right? The fastest thing that we grow, that anyone can grow from seed to harvest, is a radish. Put a radish seed in the ground, 30 days later, under the right conditions, you're pulling a radish. So, you know, we're always playing that game of the short game and building success with one small crop, you know, something that you can seed and plant and right away you're getting a harvest. And then the, 4 or 5 month heirloom tomato that's going to give you 3 on a plant, but you're the happiest because they're the best tasting tomato you've ever had.
That's amazing. This is really inspiring. And I really do love the scale and the opportunity. Once again, when we talk about propagating this knowledge of not just going to one person, but to going to an office and then seeing the impact. My bird, my parakeet, obviously, I don't know if you can hear him, but he's very excited about this right now.
Too.
He's been quiet this whole time. He's been quiet, except just when we started talking about scale. He's very passionate about growing. If people are interested in working with you, I think you might have some listeners who are like, wait, I want this at my office and I don't know if I can do it all myself. Like, where can people find you guys and potentially work with you or also learn? You have a lot of resources on your website.
Yeah, you could visit startorganic.org. That has all the information that you'll ever need about us and our corporate gardens and employee gardens. And we have some knowledge on there that you could learn through there. We have a free starter course that people can sign up for.
Okay.
A little bit of extra knowledge. And you can find that through our website too. And the easiest way is just to set up some time to chat with us. We have like a little Calendly that you can sign up to schedule some time and we can talk to you and see if what we do fits.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. You guys are so inspiring. And I hope that all of the large offices in the United States have gardens that their employees are growing joy with in the near future.
Right on. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And I would not be doing my job if I didn't say to follow us on Instagram too. I think I'd get yelled at later on if I didn't say that.
All the links will be in the show notes as well.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Maria, for having us.
My pleasure. I hope this episode has you feeling inspired. My dream would be for there to be corporate gardens in every single office building. Wouldn't that be so cool? I mean, this is really a very inspiring movement because like we talked about, the scale, the effect of one garden being tended to by so many different employees, and then all of those employees bring that knowledge home to their homes and start their own gardens and get their own personal communities involved. Like the scale is just so exciting. And Troy and Josh are such cool people. So their company is called Start Organic. You could enroll in one of their programs or start your own. Everything is linked in the show notes to support you to get there. I hope this episode was inspiring and that it helps you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test.
It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free plant parent personality test. Because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.